straight away. We're up to the very bottom line of Daf Mem Ches Omed Aleph. Toshima. Hoyu Oviv Ve'imoy Mezarkin Boy Kalim.
Can I interrupt?
Please.
Yeah, I wonder if you could possibly go over Ravel's interpretation. How he said it was a Chozen Mishpat affair, and I'm just not quite sure how it works. How this indignity
It seems
to a dead person, how it works.
work as in, it's a good question. It seems to work, if I understood it correctly, like you said, a cheshe mishpat issue, that the reason why the money might not be able to be used for the children is not because it's osa bahano as a result of a hazmona. After all, Rava holds hazmona is lav milsa, but rather because he suffered indignity. This campaign was made in his name, which means that the children, the family went around, please, could you donate to this campaign we're collecting for our father, which is, as it were, a bezoyin, which is a bezoyin to the mace. So therefore, the question is he prepared to overlook that dignity, or perhaps not, and as a result, decide that this money should not be bequeathed to the next generation.
Which
I
is
think
not
that's
there to make that decision.
right, so I think that's how I understood it. Blin, I'm going to look it in again because I also had your difficulty with this Gemara. But Rabbi Yosef, if you're unmuted, how do you translate the very bottom line of the Gemara that we just read now? Hoyu Aviv ve'imoy mezarkin boi kelim. If his father and mother threw upon him kelim, could you explain to us the background to this halacha?
If the father and the mother
Yep.
throw an excessive quantity of garments towards the body of their son,
Right, so
and
it's
then
talking about as the Loshon suggests, that somebody, parents are tragically burying their son. They throw on him, as you say, an excessive amount of kelim. Now, what does that mean, an excessive amount of kelim? As we know, and as we've learned already, that which is used towards the burial of a dead body is asa b'hanah. Whether it's a dead body themselves, as we discussed, the kaver, the shrouds, whatever it is asa b'hanah. Now, what happens if, in theory, they buried him in not just one shroud, but in 50 shrouds? So, l'chayre, it all becomes asa b'hanah. So, here we have a case of parents who, amidst their anguish, threw upon the body of their dead son excessive amount of kalim. Kalim means clothes. So the Braiser says, bottom line, mitzvah al ho'achirim lahatzilon. It's a mitzvah to save them, to take these clothes back and restore them back to the parents and give it to them after they've calmed down. So what's the problem? Once again, why don't I say, hazmona milsa. Once it's been thrown into the direction of the mace, even if he hasn't yet been buried with it, again, the Loshon was mezarkin. Mezarkin means it's just been thrown in that direction, but they haven't actually used it yet. So, how can you say that you should try and restore the clothes, as we're going to see in a moment in Rashi, because of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveidah? But once it's allocated, it's designated as a hazmona, we should say finished. Sorry. It's as if it's already been used for the dead body and it's now the point of no return. Have a look at Rashi. Mezarkin boy kelim, zorkin bigdeyen olav. They throw their begodim on him, yoiser min hatzerech, yoiser min hatzerech, more than is necessary. Why? Because of their intense love towards their son, umachmasaron, because of their deep anguish, mischavnin leesor es kol memoinom olov. Because of their deep pain, they intend, as it were, to forbid all their money, Bahano, out of anguish. So they deliberately throw all the clothes in his direction so that it should become Osa Bahano. And in that way, they further their anguish. That's what they want to do because of their pain. What's the halacha? Says Rashi, mitzvah al acherim horoyin oisom. Anybody who sees it, it's a mitzvah latzilom, to save the clothes, rescue them, velitlon me'olov, and to take them off the their body. De'ein hashava saveda godol mizeh. There is no greater hashava saveda. Clearly, they're doing it in great anguish and they want it back. They're only doing it now because they're in pain. Problem is, Alma hazmona lav milsa hi. Surely we have a proof from over here that hazmona is lav milsa. Why? Because if it was milsa, di milsa hi, because if hazmona has substance, then leka hatzala. You're not saving anything. Why? Because what do you gain by taking the clothes and giving them back to the parents? They can't use them anyway, if it's asaba or not. So if you call it hatzala and Ashava Saveda, then clearly the indication is that they're not Asaba Hanah, and the parents are going to lose these clothes for nothing, and therefore we're trying to do Ashava Saveda. So it would seem to be a raya to Rava that Hazmona is Lav Mil Sahi. Says Rashi top line, says the Gemara top line, no. Hosam Mishum Marirayhu. There's different, it's because of their bitterness. What does that mean, because of their bitterness? Milosh Moroir says Rashi, Hosa Machmas Mirirayhu Mitoich Tsa'aron Hein Oisim. It was only done amidst pain and distress. The Einzu Hazmona, that's not a Hazmona. Hazmona has to be an allocation when somebody is totally mentally capacitated and is doing so in sound mind. But when a person does hazmona just out of anguish, but it's clear that he doesn't really mean it, so then it's a shame that these clothes are going to get lost for nothing. And that's why there's a mitzvah, Shavas Aveda. But we have no proof from over here to Rava. It could well be that really hazmona is milsa. This does not constitute hazmona, because it's clearly done in pain, and therefore there's a lack of das. And if there's a lack of das, it doesn't constitute a proper hazmona. Yeah.
Why is it, returning a lost object? They didn't lose it. It's not like they lost it. They intended it to be there.
No, but their son is going to end up being buried with it. So they lost 55 clothes for nothing. The dead body didn't need it. It was excessive. The dead body needs one set of shrouds. They threw now a whole wardrobe of clothing towards the caver. Here, bury him in this. So they're going to lose all their clothes for no purpose. A dead body doesn't need 50 layers of clothing. But if Hazmona,
why is it Hashavas Abeda though? They didn't lose it.
They're about to lose it. It's about to get lost. They're about to bury the dead son in it, and suddenly they're going to find a wardrobe empty of clothing for no reason. So it's a very nice mitzvah, Hashavas Abeda, but it presumes that if you do rescue the clothes and you give it back, they'll be able to use it. So it must be Hazmona Lav Mil. So that was Morris Kasha.
It's their clothes, not the son's clothes?
No, their own clothes. Big day hem, Rashi says. Their own clothes, out of anguish. Okay, so the Gemara's answered the question. Abaye has defended his position that really hazmona is milsa. It just happens to be that in this particular case, it's not considered a hazmona. Says the Gemara, Yochi, if that's so, Hai nu diktoni olam. How do you now interpret the following? You're telling me that this hazmona does not really constitute a hazmona, for the simple reason that it was done amidst anguish and pain, and therefore they weren't perhaps of sound mind. So what about the following statement? It says there, Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel made an addition. When we just learned that if they throw the begodim, etc., etc., there's a mitzvah to save them, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel added the following line, and he said, "Bamed dvarim amurim." When was that said? Sheloi nagu b'mito. That's only if the clothes did not touch the coffin, did not touch the mito. Avol nogu b'mito. But once they touch the mito, I'm sorry to tell you, asurin, they become awesome. That was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's addendum, his addition to the previous halacha. So why is that a big kasha? It's a very big kasha. Because if you're telling me that what? That hazmana, which is done through merirus, in pain and anguish, doesn't constitute hazmana, then who in the world cares whether it touched the mitzvah or didn't touch the mitzvah? Why would that make a difference? So we're in big trouble now. You just told me, in defense of the position of Abaya, who holds hazmana is milsa, that the reason why there is over here mitzvah shalas aveda is because there's no, in fact, hazmana. They just did it in pain, unfortunately. Well, if that's the case, how can the Bryce in the very next line say, but if it touched the mitzvah, then it's different? Why not shall it be different? There's no hazmana. Look at Rashi, top line. Avol nogu b'mito asurin. Why? Ve'i mishum merirayhu, if this was done in bitterness, lomo ne'esorin b'negiyas amito. Why should they become forbidden as a result of having touched the mito? Who cares? At the end of the day, there's no real hazmona. Says the Gemara, Tirgama Ula. Ula says, I can translate this. Tirgama means to translate, like Targum. Tirgama Ula b'mito hanikveres imoi. There is now a brand new halacha, Rashi explains. We're talking about a mitzvah, not just a mitzvah that's used to transport him to the kvura, but rather it's talking about a mitzvah which is actually buried with him. The michlefi, which could easily be exchanged by mistake, betachriche hameis, for the shrouds. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, a lengthy Rashi, very important Rashi. Zok Rashi. B'mito hanikveres imoy. We're talking about a mito which is actually buried with him. Shenoisin oisa bo. That they carry him in, likvura, to the burial, but then the regilim hoyu, what they used to do is lekoivra imoy. They actually used to bury him in the mito. So the mito also gets buried. Okay. How does that change anything? By the end of the day, there's no hazmana because he did so in pain. The answer is, says Rashi, hilkoch. Therefore, afal gav demishum merirayu, comma. Even though this was done out of bitterness, as we said before, after all, they're in pain and it doesn't constitute hazmona, so why should the clothes become osabano? Nonetheless, ne'esorin b'negia, they nonetheless become forbidden by virtue of the fact they touched the mito. Why? Umidarabonon. It's not a din minatayu. Everything we've been discussing till now is halacha min ha-Torah. Hazmona, for example, according to the opinion, hazmona milsa means it's milsa min ha-Torah. Over here, it can't possibly be halacha min ha-Torah. Why not? Because no hazmona. Why is there no hazmona? Like we said, because it's merirayu, they're just done so in bitterness. So why is it nonetheless osa b'hano? Because of a din midrabanon. Why? Why did the Chazal say that these clothes become osa b'hano, or the mito becomes osa b'hano? Why is that? Says Rashi, mishum de michlefi, because it could easily be interchanged by accident, betachriche hameis. People might make a mistake. What will they say? Va'osi lameima, they will come to say, Tachriche hameis mutarin. If this bet, this mitta, is not just used for transportation or to carry him into, rather it's actually buried with him, then people might easily confuse this with tachrichim. And what will they say? Ah, just like the tachrichim are buried with him, this mitta is also buried with him. And if you're going to tell me that this mitta is now mutar bahano, then so too people will say that the tachrichim are also mutar bahano, because it's all the same thing, people will say. So Chazal came along and said, in order to avert that mistake, just like the tachrichim, which really were used to wrap the dead body, is asa bahano, so too anything that was used to that he's buried with is also asa bahano, says Rashi, avol b'mito shemeis bo. But if it's just the bed that he died in, but he was not buried in, ein regilin lekorchoi oleho, it was not the norm to wrap that bed b'tachrichei kvuro, with the wrappings of kvuro. Meaning, the bed that he passed away in, what do they do with that bed? Nothing. They leave it behind in the home or the hospital. Therefore, nobody is going to interchange that with a tachrichim. So if that's the case, eino nesorim. No reason for it to become forbidden. The mishum hazmona leka. Because as we've explained, there are two separate, unrelated reasons that you could discuss an issa hanoh in our sugya. What are the two reasons to suggest that it might be osa bahanoh? Well, number one, because of the principle of hazmona. And number two, because of this gezeira of Chazal that you might interchange this by mistake with tachrichim. Neither of those apply in the case of the bet. Why? Because there is no hazmona, because he did so in bitterness and in pain. And there's no gezeira either. Nobody interchanges by mistake the bed that he died on with the tachrichim. Says Rashi, demishum hazmona leka. There's no hazmona to talk about. The whole machmas tsa'arohu, because it was all done in pain and in anguish. Omishun gezeira, there's also the gezeira nami leka, there's also no problem. The whole loy michlafi betachrich ameis, because nobody's going to by mistake confuse the bed that he died on with the shrouds. There's no connection. One is buried with a mace and one is not. But if you're talking about a mita which is actually buried with the mace, so then people will easily confuse, will easily confuse that with the shrouds, because I'll say, listen, the shrouds actually wrapped the dead body and was buried. The mita is also buried with the mace, and if you're going to tell me that the mita is muta bahana, well, maybe the shrouds are also muta bahana, people will say. Which is a terrible mistake. So in order to alleviate that mistake, Chazal made a issa hanoh midrabbanan, even though there is no actual hazmona, because it was done in anguish, but nonetheless, the mita also becomes osa bahanoh. And therefore, what was the case over here? They threw the clothes on the mita. That does not constitute a hazmona, for reasons we already explained, because it was done meri rayu, in bitterness. So that's not the reason why it becomes osa bahano. But once they touch the bed, we say, right, that's it. It now gets incorporated in all the halachas of the bed, just like the bed is osa bahano, albeit not min ha-Torah as a result of hazmona, because it isn't hazmona, but rather because of this gzeira midrabbanan. So too, that's what happens to all the clothes that touch the bed. So in the final analysis, Abaya has defended his position. Abaya holds that it is hazmona is milsa, but in our particular case is no hazmona. So if they throw the clothes in the direction of the bed, but it didn't actually touch the bed, well then there's a mitzvah to rescue the clothes, restore them to the family because they're not asubah hanah. There's no hazmana. Once they touch the bed, that's a different story. Nothing to do with hazmana. It's because of the gzeir. Zot the Gemara Toshima.
It's better.
Beyoim she'osai. Not me, I'm sorry. Kiss. Kiss she'osai lahaniach boi tfilin osur lahaniach boi mois. So we're back now to the tefillin bag story. A kiss, a bag. She'osoy lahaniach boi tefillin. That was made in order to put tefillin in. So what does osoy mean? Osoy means it was allocated for that. Doesn't say he used it for the tefillin. It just says osoy, it was made for that. Sounds very much like hazmana. And it says that what's the halacha? Osur laniach boi mois. You cannot now put money in it. What happens the other way around if hiniach boi tefillin? Do you remember we discussed on the previous omer? There's always the stage one, the hazmana. Stage two, the shimush. So what happens if you have the shimush but without the hazmana? Hiniach boi tefillin, if you actually put tefillin in the bag. But he was never also, he never made it for that. So then, yaniach boi mois. So then he's allowed to put money in it, because there's no hazmona. So what does this brisa seem to suggest? This brisa seems to suggest that hazmona is milsa. Because you see that once he allocated it for the tefillin, you can't put your money in, says Rashi. Osur laniach boi mois tazmona milsehi v'kashel roven. V'kashel roven. What about the second halacha if it's a niach boi tefillin? Ba'akroi ba'alma. What does it mean, ba'akroi ba'alma? He just happened to put it there, but never allocated it for that. Remember we discussed on the previous omid, if you take a shirt out of your wardrobe and you use that to cover a sefer Torah, if you didn't allocate it for that usage, even though you used it, it's not asubah hanah. It's called ba'akroi, like a mikra. It just happened to be, but you didn't allocate it for that. But al kaponim in the first case, what does it say quite clearly? It says quite clearly that what? That once you allocated it for tefillin, it's asubah hanah. And if it's asubah hanah, that seems to indicate that hazmona is milsa, and that's a riot to Abaya, in which case Rava is in trouble. Says the Gemara, you're right, you're gonna have to add one word, Eimer, rather, you know what it means? Osoy vehiniach boy. You're right, we're gonna have to say that there's a stage which is not mentioned in the Brisa. When it says he made it for tefillin, what it means is he made it. But also vehiniach. But he also did stage two. So even though Rava holds hazmona is lav milsa, but obviously if you do a maisa tashmish as well, if you use it, then it becomes also to put the money in. Osra laniach boi mois kede Rav Chista, in accordance with Rav Chista. What did Rav Chista say? Rav Chista was the one who told us, if you remember on Amud Aleph, that if you bundle up your tefillin in a bag, you're allowed to put money in it. Because that's tashmish, but you never did a hazmona. But if I did a hazmona and I also then bundled a tefillin in a bag, so I've got two stages, then it becomes asubah hanah, says Rashi. Eimahochi, maybe this is what it means. Kis she'osoi letfilin. A bag which they made for tefillin. Vehiniach boi tefillin. And he also placed the tefillin in it. Ah, so he's checked both boxes now. Osur laniach boi mois. So then indeed, he cannot put the money in it because he's got two stages. So what's the chiddush then? If that's what the braisa means, then it's not really much of a chiddush. He allocated the bag and he put the tefillin in it. Well, obviously it's osur. The answer is, you're right, the resha is not a chiddush, but the sefer is. Umishum sefer itzrich lemisnaya. It is because of the sefer that it's necessary to be tall. What does the sefer say? That if you just merely put in the tefillah without the location, it's nothing. Liashminon to teach us Kirav Chista, the principle of Rav Chista, which was what? The tsar bey. If you wrap the bag around the tefillin, but v'loy azmine, you never did azmona, loy have a tashmishay mitzvah bahachi. It does not become tashmishay mitzvah based on that alone. So that's the chiddush of his brisa. So once again, Rava has defended his position, which means, Rabbi Yisai, we have tried to bring one proof after another, one after another, and we still have not managed. Because every proof we've brought, either to Abaya or to Rav, has been defended. So here comes now Rabbi Yisai, another proof and the last proof before we finally get to a conclusion. Toshema Omar Lu'umon. If somebody said to a craftsman, Asay li tik shel sefer, please make me a bag, a case, for a sefer, meaning for a sefer Torah. Oi, naratik shel tefillin. Please can you make me a tefillin bag? So he does so. So the craftsman now presents him with the tefillin bag, or the Sefer Torah cover. So there's definitely been a hazmona. There's definitely been a hazmona. And look what it says in the Braisa. Ad, as long as Shaloi Nishtamish Bohen Koidesh, as long as you haven't used it for anything holy, Mutter Lishtamish Bohen Choyl. You're allowed to use it for non-holy things. It's only a hazmona. Once it's Nishtamish Bohen Koidesh, once you've actually used it for something holy, then Osir Lishtamish Bemun Choyl. Well, I don't think you can get clearer than that. As they say, game, set, and match. Surely that's the clearest proof that what? That Hazmona is Lav Milsa. He absolutely dedicated it. Remember, he instructed the Umman, please make a Sefer Torah cover, please make a tefillin bag. And the Brisa says, clearly, yeah, but as long as you haven't used it, it's fine. You can put in your money. So we seem to have an absolute proof from the Tanoim, from this Brisa, that Hazmona Lav Milsa, like Rava. Says the Gemara, Tanoihi. We must be perfectly honest. This machlokes that we have called the machlokes between Abaya and Rava, which is a machlokes Amoroim, is in fact a machlokes Tanoim. Machlokes Tanoim. Tanya, because we've learned in a brisa, Tzipon Zohov. What happens if somebody coated the tefillin in gold? We know, even though the Torah doesn't say so clearly, but it's halacha Moshe Sinai, tefillin have to be black. So what happens if somebody coated them in gold? Oi, Shetolo alein oir shel behema tmeo. Or he wrapped them in the skin of a non-kosher animal. The halacha is psulos. So it's possible. Because two critical halachas in the kashrus of tefillin is, number one, it can't be gold, it's got to be black. Number two, it can't be a behema tmeo, it's got to be a behema tohir. Oir behema tohiro. But if they covered the tefillin in the skin of behemoth Torah, which is you're supposed to do, kasheirois, then the tefillin indeed will be kosher. Afal pi sheloi ibdu lishmon. Even though the ibud, what's the ibud? The process of ibud is we take skin from an animal and you make it usable into parchment or whatever usage you want, that's called ibud. And halacha is lechayra that the ibud has to be done lishma, meaning for purposes of tefillin. So here the Braisa says that as long as I used oir from a behemoth tahira, even if there was no ibud lishma, but nonetheless it's tefillin akosha. But Reb Shimon Gamliel says no, af oir behemoth tahira is psulois. So we have a machloikas, not just Amoraim. We have a machloikas Tanoim. What's the halacha if you use perfectly kosher animal oir, oir with an eye in the skin? But you did not do the ibud lishma, says the Tanakama. It's okay. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not okay. So what are they debating? Whether Hazmona is milso, Hazmona is lav milso. Look at Rashi quickly. Tzipu zahav l'tfilin. If you coated the tfilin in gold, psulois halacha moshe mesinahu. Tola alei loshon tla, you patch it up. Klema chippon, you covered it. Ba'or be'metumei psulois. Why? Because it says leman tia teres Hashem beficha. It says with regard to tefillin, it was in last week's parasha, Pashas Boy, that in order that the Torah should be in your mouth. So we learn it's got to be something which is in theory kosher to go in your mouth, i.e., it's got to be a kosher animal. If not, it's possible. But if it is a kosher animal, the first opinion says afal pi shaloi ibdu, they did not treat, work on this or zelishmoi, dasmana lav milsi v'loy ich praslon bod. If we don't care, the ibud lishmo, which means the treating of this oil, whether you did it with expressive kavona in mind that it's going to be used for tefillin. Well, if you hold that asmona is lav milsa, then your ibud lishmo is neither here nor there, because the allocation doesn't do anything anyway. So therefore, the first opinion says, I don't care about the allocation. The second opinion says, I do care about the allocation. Well, that is the machlokas in Abaya and Rava. So it turns out in the final analysis, l'chayra, that the machlokas Abaya and Rava, as to whether Hazmona is milsa or not, turns out to be machlokas Tanoim. So therefore, if you brought me a braisa a minute ago that seems to say quite clearly that Hazmona is lav milsa, I'll say, fine, okay, that goes according to one opinion. So it turns out, machlokas tanoim. So, Miss Hashem, tomorrow we will see the final line. I would suggest everybody should have with them tomorrow, if you have a Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Brura, Chelek Aleph. Because we'll learn some of the halachas of Talis and Tfilin, and with regard to the Shailas that Ari brought up, which are very, very much Negea Halacha Ula Maisa, and they're all based on our Sugya. Yes.
Rabbi, do you know which simanim, if we could, so we can look at it today, maybe before Shira tomorrow?
Yes, Ablina, I'll send you an email right now.
Okay, thank you.
Shukor.
Okay.